praying, or let's say a young man asks a young woman, marry me, and she spends 2 years praying about it. Did it take God 2 years to tell her, this is what I want? No. Do you think it took the Lord 2 years to persuade her, to make up his mind whether he wants her to marry him or not? No, he didn't take him 2 years to make up his mind. His mind was made up before the two of them met. It took her 2 years to be able to hear what he said. Yes, it's true. The first 6 months is for her to get used to his accent. He talks like a bushman. 6 months of prayer to decode that one alone. That what a man says is not, that is the way he says is not what matters. Now let me not sit down on that, because once you read it like this, see all of them, their antenna don't go up. Boom! Antenna don't stand. Say, Pastor, please more. I won't go near there. We have put your antenna back inside. You know, once you enter a car, you like a Toyota, just put on the music set. Boom, the antenna starts shooting up from outside. I put your antenna back inside. Put it off, amen? The Lord is God. I'm leaving that place. What I'm saying is that God's will is not audible, is not discernible when the heart is not prepared to accept it. There was a time Jesus walked with the disciples and said, now let me tell you what's going to happen. They are going to collect me. They are going to beat me. They are going to hang me. I am going to, before he said die, Peter said, stop that nonsense. Stop that nonsense. We left everything. You must understand what's going on. We left everything to follow you. You want to now die and leave us. Without forget that nonsense. You that we have been bragging on, you want to now be punished by these people. Better forget that. By the time they finish, they picture the heart of Jesus Christ. This revelation didn't fit it. So he said to them, there are things I want to tell you. You can't bear them now. You can't hear them now. It can't enter your heart. What am I saying? It's our thinking pattern that determines whether we can hear God or we can't hear God. It's our thinking pattern that determines how our life will turn out. And that's why it's so crucial that Christians, every day you rearrange your thinking pattern. I mean, that's what differentiates one person from another. That's what makes, listen to me, that's what makes a man a successful executive and the other person a failure. Let me not sit on that, because we have somewhere we're going. So let's go back to it. Isaiah 55. We must rearrange our minds. Righteousness is in thinking the way God thinks. He said, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, verse 7, and he will have compassion on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. That is, the people he was speaking to, they were thinking differently from the way God was thinking. Neither are your ways my ways. Your thinking pattern had produced a certain manner of walking, different from mine. He said, now, this is how it goes, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is how my words go, verse 10. For as the rain and the snow come down from the heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. It says, so shall my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. My word shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Please notice this. God's word is always on a mission. It said, my word accomplishes. It shows you that it's alive. In the book of Hebrews, we read it like that. For the word of God is living and active. All right, sharper than any two-edged sword. Look at what he says here. He said, my word is on a mission. It will accomplish what I desire. That is, anytime I desire something, I speak that word. Are you getting my point? That is, anytime I want something to be formed on the earth, what I do is to speak a word that describes it. Are you getting what I'm explaining here? Look, you know, we studied then in the book of Genesis chapter 1, that is how God created things. This is what he did. The Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He said, the earth was without form and it was void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep, all right? And the Spirit of God was hovering, moving, meditating, incubating upon the surface of the waters. Then what happened? God said, let there be light. And you've heard me say this before. When God said, let there be light, he did not speak any language. We established that. What happened is that there was an eruption from the thing that he had incubated. Are you getting my point? And when that thing erupted, all right, light came to be. And Moses heard that eruption later, and he put it down in the Hebrew language as, let there be light. God didn't speak any language. But this is the point. That eruption is the word of God. It's a description for that which he desires. I don't know what I hear what I said. It's a description for that which he has proposed. So anytime you see that the prophets hear God's eruptions and they write them down in the language that you can understand, what God is saying is that this is what I want to accomplish in your life. The way by which I accomplish it, are you getting my point? Is by uttering my word into you. And that word is forbidden to return until it has accomplished that which I want to do in your life. The word is on a mission. God does not gist. He does not while away the time. There's no gist used to fill the time during halftime when he's watching matches. I don't know what I heard I said. You know, we know we crack jokes a lot. Human beings. We say things that don't exist and things that can't exist and things that God does not desire to exist and we laugh about it. This is the interesting part. God does not ever crack that kind of joke. He doesn't. If God says, a man walked into my office today with two heads, you just see one man will appear, two heads on his head. Right there. That's it. He doesn't crack jokes. I'm not saying he doesn't laugh. Did I say that? He laughs. The Bible says, he that sits in the heavens laugh. You know what makes him laugh? When people are thinking they can thwart his purpose, he starts laughing. And his laughter, you hear it a lot. Yeah, you do. Sometimes we hear the thunder, but boom! That's God laughing. That's God laughing. Go and read the story of Samuel. When Samuel gathered Israel to talk to them, and the Philistines gathered around them, and Samuel prayed, and God looked at the Philistines and laughed. Hoo-hoo-hoo! That was it. Thunder, lightning, wiped away armies. God laughs, but he doesn't crack jokes. Anything he says is on a mission. God does not encourage people. Do what I say. Don't worry. Don't worry. Please don't worry. There's no need to worry. It shall be okay. Well, it could have been worse. That is human beings. With God, if he says don't worry, he's not asking you that worry is unnecessary. He's telling you by that word that I'm killing the worrying ability inside you as I'm talking. So if God says to you, don't worry, don't tell him thank you. It was nice of you to have come. In the time of my distress like this, I like friends like you. That's not God. When God says, don't worry, you know what you say? Amen. As soon as you say amen, you suddenly discover that you can't worry. I don't know what I heard. If God says, don't worry, it will be all right. Jump up and shout, woo! Hallelujah! Amen, praise God. Say, why are you shouting? Because he just said, it will be all right. You know what it means? Immediately the events begin to rearrange because God just said, it will be all right. So the word of God, listen, as a preacher too, you have to get to that level. That's what we are aiming for. To become, I call the Samuel anointing. Samuel, I don't think Samuel had the liberty to talk anyhow because there was nothing he said that failed. If Samuel looked at a man and said, you, it no go better for you, that's it. Your generations will die in poverty. I don't think he used to curse anyhow if he didn't have real cause to impact. That's how the word of God, he doesn't give advice. No, the word of God is pure empowerment. It's an empowerment. In the beginning, you know, The Bible said God blessed them, saying, be fruitful. It's not advice. I said, oh, please, guys, you know, I need to fill this earth. All right, please don't use contraceptives. Please, I'm begging you. God talking to Adam and Eve. He said, guys, you know, I need to fill this earth. No, please, eh? I know raising children may be difficult, but please try and have as many as possible. He wasn't doing that because he did the same thing to animals, and those ones don't have sense. He was uttering what? Commands. He was putting spiritual laws into place. So he said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion. Hey! No matter how dangerous some animals want to be, human beings will tame them. No matter. Listen, even when the human beings are crazy people who have denied God, the residue of that anointing upon the race of Adam has made Adam forever. Have you ever heard a place on earth where they say human beings don't go there because the animals there are dangerous? When the snake kills the first, kills the second, they say, fine. You know what they say? There are snakes here. Now we are going to exterminate them. Lions have never exterminated human beings. You can kill a few. They are coming back. Why? Because the word went forth at the beginning saying, be fruitful, multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the beasts of the field. Once God said it, him, even without gun, they had dominion. It's a word. The population of the earth keeps increasing. It's a word. It's a commandment. It's power. Because God said every word I utter is an assignment. Every word I utter is what? An assignment. That's why he said it like this. He says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth and does not return empty without accomplishing that which I desire. God has a desire. And his desire is described by his word. And anytime somebody receives the word of God and believes it, that word begins to produce the desire of God in that person's life. That's how it works. He said that my word does not return to me empty without accomplishing that which I desire and without succeeding in that concerning for which I sent it. That is, every time God's word goes forth, it has an assignment it's trying to produce. He said it must succeed in the matter for which I sent it. So the word of God, you know, when we're discussing it then, the matter of double hearing, is not entertainment. Are you getting my point? No, it's not entertainment. It's not entertainment. It is God describing what he wants to do. It is God issuing forth the method for accomplishing that which he desires. You know, Mohamed Bouazizi is my interesting story these days. In fact, I was in the bank yesterday. I had an issue with them. He was saying that, no, we can't do anything. I said, listen, have you ever heard of Mohamed Bouazizi? All of them were looking, what? He said, that's a man who set himself on fire, and the whole of the Arab world is currently on fire. Now, look at what is going on in the Arab world. I look at the things. I don't want to, because we're recording that, there are things I don't want to say. But I realized something. God has he has a purpose concerning the Arab world. Do you know that? Yeah, there's something he's doing. You know, in recent times, Islam waxed so strong. You know what is going on? Became a terror to the world. You know, Al-Qaeda is very funny. Al-Qaeda is one of the most, that's Al-Qaeda pattern of enemies. They are some of the most dangerous kinds of enemies to handle. When you have an enemy that's not afraid to die, you're in trouble. When you have an enemy that has no purpose, you're in trouble. That's why, no matter how tough you are, you can't fight in the motor park. Yes. You can't. That's why most of us civilians can't fight soldiers. Not because they are stronger. But the man is trained not to fear death. So if you bring a knife, he's not going to run. If I bring a knife, you will disappear. If you bring a gun, he no go run. So how much more when you are not carrying anything? Now I'm bringing out something. What is this I'm saying? For that reason, things like Al-Qaeda appear very formidable. They are terrifying. I'm telling you. They terrify people. But you know what? For God, the date they will end has been written. Yes. And he issued forth a word, which is in Psalm 2. Kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish out of the way. No matter how much you like to blow yourself up, you will perish out of the way. I'm going somewhere. Now, when we see things that are terrifying, the natural human response is to try and withdraw and run away. But that's not God's response. God's response is that I've said something about it. Take that which I have said and continually declare it. Show that you agree with it. And one day you will look and those enemies you're talking about will have disappeared. They will have perished out of the way. That's what I'm going to explain. So shall my word be. Every word from the mouth of God is on a mission. I notice that, see, for years, men have been praying about Nigeria. Men had visions about the country. I've heard all kinds of prophecies. And believe me, those words are working. You hear what I said? They are. Look at something. Because of time, we'll read it later. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It says something there. That we are transformed from one level of glory to another. That's what I want to bring out. The issue of glory, from one level of glory to another. That when we have a word, when we have the picture. Now listen to this. Let me quickly explain this. When God, like I said in Genesis, when he was going to create, he had a picture in his mind. It was the fullness of that erupted. Are you getting my point? And then light was. Then he had a picture in his mind concerning what he wanted to do next. And then that thing came to be as he erupted out of his heart. Are you getting my point? And Moses will hear, let the earth bring forth vegetation and all of that. All right? God wasn't speaking any language. He was just brooding. And then the thing will come out and suddenly you see vegetation. And Moses will hear when he's recording. And God said, let the vegetations come out with fruit, with seed. Is it with fruit having seed in themselves and all of that? And then let the water bring forth living creatures. And God kept on declaring. But there was one clause, one line God put there which really, really interested me. Because what we thought all the time is that anything that God says just came out perfectly the way he wanted it. But we know one thing for sure. One of the things that God created was man. And at a point in time, God looked at man and said, this man I made is not good. Did you hear what I said? What did he say? He said, it is not good. That's it. That is the picture. Now, when you say something is not good, you know what it means? If you go to a tailor, make me a suit like this and like that and like that, and when he brings it, you look and say, it is not good. What does it mean? It does not fit the picture I had in my mind when I was commissioning you to do this dress. Are you getting what I'm saying? You want to buy a car, you've been thinking for a long time, they bring one. The car is nice. Everything about it is okay. But what do you think he said? It's not good. What does it mean? It does not fit the desire of my heart. They bring you a very nice sports car. 16 cylinders. But you look at it, it has only 2 seats. So you say, where will I put my children? As good as the car is, they tell you, this one is a Ferrari Testarossa. Say, where will I put my children? The car, is there anything wrong with it? No. But does it fit your own desires? No. Therefore, it is not good. What you were looking for was an Escalade, you know, so you can park your whole extended family inside. Now, what am I saying? So when God looked at Adam and said, it is not good that man be alone. What it means that when I created him, that was not the picture I had in mind. Therefore, I'm going to move him from the first level of glory in which he appeared into the next level of glory that will fit exactly what I wanted for him. Eve was not an afterthought. I don't know whether I hear what I said. God didn't think of Eve later. No. The fact that, no, is it God than us? My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. It's human beings that experiment and discover along the line that this one no go work. He said, J.T. Edison, Thomas Edison tested the filament bulb 10,000 times before he found the one that worked. That's not God. That's Thomas Edison. With God, he knew exactly what Adam was going to be like. He knew he needed somebody. So along the line, he looked and said, it is not good. It does not fit my exact picture of him being alone. Therefore, I will bring forth that other one that proposed to be beside him. So don't think that God fails halfway. No. It's called from glory to what? To glory. That's what I'm trying to bring out. When the word of God is coming forth, it also comes into manifestation in your life from glory to glory. That's why there were types of Jesus before he finally showed up. Moses declared himself a manifestation of Jesus Christ. How did he say? He said, God will send you a prophet like myself. That is when God first spoke a word of deliverance. The best that word of deliverance could bring forth at that time was a man called Moses. But God looked and said, it is not good that deliverance be called Moses. But we use it for the meantime. So when Moses was through, he declared, I am not the one to come. I am the first manifestation of the deliverance of God. Are you getting the point I'm making? So he says simply, God will bring you another prophet. Actually, I believe what he said, which I am like. that is like me. That's what he said literally. That is, you are seeing me now. I'm helping you discover what God's ultimate deliverance will be like. What am I saying? As the word of God comes into you, there are different ways it manifests. Sometimes, zoom, suddenly the full glory. Other times, no. Adam first shows up with Adam and Eve. It doesn't mean God has forgotten what he said. It just means that's the first stage of the manifestation of that glory. Sometimes the first deliverer you see is Moses. It doesn't mean God has forgotten what he wanted to do. It simply means that that's just the first stage of the manifestation of that glory. For that reason, we don't lose heart. Are you getting my point? We don't draw back from following the word of God. We continually follow it because the path of the just is like the light of dawn. It keeps on getting brighter and brighter and brighter until the fullness of the day of Jesus comes into their lives. Are you getting the point I'm making? Look, that's why I said to you, God can say to a man, go to Lagos, and he will hear, go to Onitsha. Let him go to Onitsha, but let him keep hearing. Are you getting my point? A day will come, you will find another manifestation. So what are we trying to do? We are getting what God has said. And anything that comes to my mind, that as the Lord inspires me, I will declare it. For example, God said clearly that no matter what your genes say, you will not die young. I won't explain how. I don't care. All I know is that you ain't going to die young. Why? Because he said, even though the body is subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. And if that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that spirit will give life to your mortal body. Say, if Christ is in you, are you getting my point? Even though the body is subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit will give you life because of righteousness. You know, you've heard me teach about what I call the simplicity of divine intervention. God is not always spectacular in his arrival. Sometimes it's like we say in medicine, it's insidious. He just crawls in, creeps in, and gradually takes over the whole place. What am I saying? There are different ways by which the word will manifest. But at the end of the day, you will discover that that word has taken effect in your life. Are you getting my point? If you have not been around, please listen to our series. In fact, maybe we'll pack everything into one single MP3 CD. Both the prayers and the Tuesday's exhortations. I'm talking about only in Christ. That thing is very powerful. In fact, you know, I was listening to Jack Hayford teach, and he said something which I heard for the very first time. He said that you don't find the word kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven much in the book of John. He said not because John didn't know about it, but because he used a totally different expression to mean the same thing. That he used the word eternal life. And I said, when Paul would describe the same thing, Paul wouldn't use much of that. Listen to this. I heard this just a few days ago. But if you have been coming here for the last few weeks, you're just talking about in Christ. He said, instead of using the word kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, Paul will use the word in Christ. And remember, we have been saying here over the last few months that Christ is not the name of a person. It's what? A sphere of existence. And I heard Jack Hayford say that that's what others call the kingdom of God. That Paul used the expression in Christ. And we have been teaching, please listen to it, that's what I'm going to. That in Christ Jesus, all your natural disadvantages mean nothing. I don't know what I said. You see, sometimes people have said, you look at some people and say, why was I not lucky like that person? They say, what do you mean by luck? That God is asking. When he was born, the feeding bottle was made of gold. The spoon they used to give him gripe water was silver. Born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He became what he is today because his father was well-educated and very rich. He sent him to the best schools, sent him here, sent him there. And you know, we have become confused with reading too many worldly materials. And they have created a picture in our mind of what progress and success is determined by. In Christ Jesus, they mean what? Nothing. There are those who think because of infotech, the information age, being controlled from Silicon Valley in America, the best, the richest men in the world who come from America, God says, wait, behold, I do a new thing. Very soon, you will count the richest men and women in the world. 5 will be from Ghana. 10 will be from Nigeria. 1 will be from Rwanda. And I'm talking about the top 20. Are you getting the point I'm making? How shall these things be? None of your business. Just say, be it unto me according to thy word. Now listen, God is not vainglorious. As if say, he wants you to have money. What is money with God? But you see, when the glory of God begins to move, all kinds of things follow it. When God poured glory upon Israel, Solomon was so rich that the thieves in Israel didn't used to steal silver. It wasn't worth their time. And the temple of Solomon, I haven't read the scripture, and the palace of Solomon, I discovered, there were no unique things in Israel that Israel had never seen the type before. All the big men in Israel used to peep at Solomon's house and go and build their own. I don't know where I get my point. Solomon, if you look at his life, it's not possible that he was the only rich man in Israel. It's not possible. Just going to read the story. He was not a king sitting down. He was a businessman. The guy was a business magnet. He used to rear horses. He used to import gold, fashion them into stuff. The guy used to make designs. He used to export all kinds of things. And when a man is doing that, what do you think his servants are doing? They are moping. Hey, our king is very wise. Now, like, they are starting their own businesses. They are conquering. Are you getting my point? Yes. Listen, you know, I love the man Jack Hayford. In fact, a friend of mine, I want to send him a mail about Jack Hayford. He's the first elderly white man preacher who I heard say that Barack Obama's winning of the election was a prophetic matter. He said, the man described some things. I said, it's a friend of mine. This is America. I said, I'll send him a mail. That boy, you will love this man. Because anyway, leave that. What I'm trying to say is here is this, all right? God in Christ Jesus said, and I'm telling you this, the country you live in does not mean anything when it comes to your progress. That is, you are not disadvantaged in any form. The explanation? Unnecessary. Because when I tell you like that, and you believe it, new explanations will be made when you have succeeded. Oh God. You know why they say to the making of books, there is no end. To the writing of books, there's no end. Because there are always new things being demonstrated. New things are always being demonstrated. You know, just to illustrate, this man, Donald Trump, wrote a book, The Art of the Deal, because he was very rich. He had made it, became a billionaire. And then after he published The Art of the Deal, he collapsed. The whole company went down to minus 2 billion. Is that minus 2 or minus 4? What, a few billions in the red. Then after a while, things turned again. He came back again. He went back into becoming a billionaire. They wrote another book, The Art of the Comeback. Are you getting my point? Anytime something happens, a new book must be written. Barack Obama wrote books. And one of those books is the reason why he became president. I mean, people read it. My friend of mine, the one I was mentioning to you earlier, said he was in a shop, I think in New York or in Texas. This was in Houston. And a white man came up to him. No, he was looking at the book, Dreams of My Father. An elderly white man walked up to him and said, make sure you read that book. That young man has something to say. Are you getting my point? People read the book. People believed in him. There are two of them, Dreams of My Father and what's the second one? The Audacity of Hope, yes. I think it was Audacity of Hope that he was looking at when the white man said that to him. He's a black man, Nigerian, all right? Now that the man has won the American presidency, that he has finished the first tenure, he's campaigning for the second one now. You know another book is already being written. Do I need to tell you that? In fact, was it Denzel Washington, one of these actors, that said that by the time they want to do a film on the life of Obama, that it's a pity that he will be too old to act that role, that he would have loved to act the role of Obama. What am I saying? To the making of books, there is no end. One book will also be written about your life. Did I say one? I withdraw it. Several. Because each stage of glory, a book will be written. That's the way it works. How shall these things be? I don't give a hoot. I don't care. One thing I know, the Spirit of God will overshadow you. That even you will know that that which is coming out of you is not by human reasoning. It was born of God. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this, he said, is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith, that is, accept anything that is told you from the word of God and don't worry about the fulfillment. Actually, it's only after the fulfillment you will understand it. That it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken. Listen, I like that name, that Obama's book, Dreams from My Father. I told you the word of God is the desire that God has for your life. It's not describing your current experience. That's why even if it disagrees, don't worry. The word is what? The desire of God that he wants to be expressed in your life. It's what God has desired, written down. And that's the reason why he created you. Once I was somewhere, a man was speaking, that we were in a meeting. I think I've used illustration before. And it was a couple's meeting, actually. And we're explaining some things. And one brother said, Christians love to be preached at. I said, what do you mean by that? He said that, let's talk practical. Let's talk reality. That this is not preaching we are talking about. We want to talk reality. I was embarrassed for him. I looked at him, I said, my friend, listen to me. God's word does not describe your experiences. It is supposed to create experiences for you. That if right now what you're experiencing, all right, does not fit the word of God, it means you are wrong. It doesn't mean the word is not being rightly interpreted. It just means you are wrong. So what you do, you take the word and say, this is the word of God. It's God's dream for me concerning marriage. This is God's word. It's God's idea concerning what my home should be. And what I'm experiencing is not like that. So I take that word, I hear it, and say to God, be it unto me according to your word. I don't go and say, this is reality we are talking about. If your reality is different from the word of God, you are still walking in sin, and you need to repent. I don't mean you stole money. Did I say so? I'm not saying you're an adulterer. Did I say so? Sin is not only these moral problems. Sin just means I have not yet come up to the level that God wants me to be. I don't quarrel with that. They don't know what they are saying. No. It simply means that I have not yet come up to the level of that manifestation. And that's why I brought that forth, that word, the matter of glory to glory. The reason why you keep on going from glory to glory is because you have a dream, a desire, God's mission that His word, all right, is supposed to produce in your life. And as that word encounters your flesh, it struggles. I don't know where I get my point. It's not as if the word is incapacitated. It is just that if you don't allow it, you cannot force it. So God's word stays there until it has persuaded you to accept that next level. Then you step up to it. So you move from one level of glory to another. But one thing must be constant. While we look at that which we have not yet experienced. Let's read that one and I close with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In Christianity, you must always be looking up. We must always be looking up. He said in verse 18, let's start from verse 7. He said, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit, that is the Lord, is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. That is, as we are beholding the glory of God, that's the ultimate. Are you getting my point? Paul said our temporal light affliction is working for us what? An eternal weight of glory. As long as we are looking at that thing which is not yet seen. For that which is seen is temporal. But that which we cannot see is what? Eternal. You add those two things together. You look at the glory, which is the ultimate. What you find is that experiences will keep changing. One of the major problems we have in Christianity is that we build doctrines on those experiences. Therefore, we don't go beyond that level. I don't know if you get my point. The experiences are temporal. If I focus on the word of divine health, it does not matter where I am right now. Eventually, I will hit that level. Because somebody prayed once and the sickness is not running away, does not mean that the word of divine health is a lie. It simply means you have not hit the level of glory that is necessary to have the full impartation of His power into your life. That's what it means. It doesn't mean, this is how this person did that time. And there's nothing came out of it. Listen, if indeed he believed the word of God, there was a level of glory that he experienced. And if we keep on looking at that word, listen, eventually, oh God, the problems that people get tired to end. If doctors give us medicine and say it will take 4 years to cure the disease, we take it consistently for 4 years. But if God's word does not work in 24 hours, he has a problem. It's faith and patience that does what? Inherits the promises. What is patience? I have set before me the Lord. I have set before me the word of God. I have set before my eyes the desire of God for my life, which was communicated by His word. And I know I am going up from one level of glory to another. Like I said to you before, Isaac was not the first son that Abraham sacrificed. What I'm trying to say, God also allowed him to go from one level of glory to another. By the time he let Ishmael go, it was a sacrifice of his son. But that one, he didn't have to kill himself, and it was not the child of promise. Are you getting my point? What have I said today? We must set the word of God before us, and our lives will be transformed continually into from one level of glory to another until we finally, fully accomplish that word in our life. Listen, the word is an assignment. It's not here to entertain you, to make you feel good. The reason why God poured His Spirit upon you that makes you gather day in, day out, night, day, Bible book at night in your house, you are listening to a message. The reason why God poured that Spirit for the love of His word into your life is simply because there is an assignment that word is supposed to accomplish. That's the reason.